in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Hey, Reverend Billy here at the Church of Stop Shopping. Well, now we are being surrounded by neo-Nazis who are telling us you cannot trust strangers. You can't let people across the border into our community. You have to be afraid. And they look at fear and they call it greatness. They have a whole different lexicon than we do, but they're borrowing the language of community. By way of Christianity, by way of, they are saying, be selective in who you love. Well, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said a similar thing when, after Trump's election, she told us, really embrace community. Go to your neighbors. Go to your family. Find a stronger bond with the ties that bind. So it's complex. What we want to do, I think, is we want to stick with love because love is the most powerful emotion the earth has given us, and have that love apply, strengthening the people around us in our community. That's for political reasons as well. Not just to defend, but also to go out and change neo-Nazis. That's why we say, find out how to kiss a neo-Nazi. On the other hand, strangers. Strangers are the people that we meet in the village commons. They are the people that come across the border and give us a new education, a new kind of dance. They are how we become better people. And we know that loving the neo-Nazi is something we will have to learn how to do eventually to change them. But loving strangers and being open and not loving any border, but inviting people across as we hope they will invite us, that's where it's at. That's power. And that's what the earth, I believe, wants us to do if you're an earth defender. You let the birds migrate across the border. You let the people come into your neighborhood. Somebody give me an earth-a-lu-yah.
Earth-a-lu-yah.
Big change is coming.
We dress up like extinct animals and sing in a bank and get arrested and go to jail and try to sleep. And then we come home and sleep and get up and dress like extinct animals and get on the subway to another bank where we meet the Stop Shopping singers and go into the lobby and sing, hand out investment information, and then get handcuffed and go to jail, or maybe just the precinct house for a few hours, but maybe the Tombs, city jail, up to 3 days and nights, and face the judge again and make some promise or other and go home and get ready to go banking. We shower and then study bank investments and then call other shopping stoppers. And can you believe UBS is bankrolling that Aussie coal? And then we read more extinction reports. And then we dress up like another kind of threatened life. And we go sing in bank lobbies and parking lots and drive through teller windows and bank-sponsored art events and preach inside a circle of faces who are loathing us and giggling, stunned with fraud. We hand out information on earth crimes that happen from their money. And we get arrested and handcuffed and go to jail. Maybe just a warning, in which case we do more research after returning home. And love our loved ones and eat and drink and read and wash and do laundry and put off the bills. And we're exhausted, so we fall asleep and dream of rainforests, prairies, coral reefs. And we wake up and then we dress up like extinct animals and get on the subway and meet the other singers who are wearing the giant heads of the long gone golden toad, or maybe they're covered with threatened honeybees. And we're off to the bank, broke but laughing all the way to the bank.
What strikes me as so amazing is that we have in our wonderful democracy people who are trying to return us to that culture of fear. When I grew up in Hopkinsville, I really was afraid of most white people. And of course, as I went out into the world as what I call a Kentucky cosmopolitan, I found white people who are just as committed to love and justice as myself. And I have written a lot about coming back to Kentucky. I felt like I would never go back to live in Kentucky. I'd be sending my ashes home in a box. But increasingly, in all the things that I didn't want to deal with, imperialist, white supremacist, capitalist patriarchy was as fiercely there as it was in Kentucky. So it was wonderful to be able to come home to Kentucky, to be the Kentucky writer, influenced by our life in the hills, to be a person of courage, to be self-determining, and to be a person of love.
Because the rest of my life is flying by yours, the lives of our body shade through the doors. Because you walk by me and I walk by you, everyone we've ever loved is walking by too. Because the air around you moves like light, I gather the four walls and fall with the night. Because the hours were ours, time carries the part. Our quiet wildness is the beat of our hearts. Because the rest of my life is flying by yours, the lives of our body shade through the doors. Because you walk by me
I don't have marching orders for you right now. My marching orders would basically be to find your safe network of people, to find your pod, to find your community. We have to do a lot of community building. And by that, I don't just mean organizing politically. I mean active community building. We are in a position where the isolation of a capitalist system, the isolation produced by COVID, just where we are as a society, people working three, four jobs to make ends meet. We do not have community. And believe it or not, community, whether it's your church or mosque or temple, whether it's a knitting group, whether it's, you know, your dinner circle, building that community is actually far more transformative and far more important than you may realize. And people may dismiss it and people may think that it's silly or frivolous. It is not. I guarantee you it is not. And we are in a time where people finding their friends and finding their circle is a challenge. If you don't have your group that is close to you, you are probably in a similar boat as so many Americans right now. It's a big reason why we're here as a country in this place. And so we can commit ourselves to making the smallest communities as we can around ourselves. If you don't know your neighbor, it's time to know your neighbor. And, or if you have a coworker that you think you're cool with or whatever, it's time to get to know that person. And it's time to get to know the people that we will be relying on to protect and to protect each other. It seems frivolous, but I guarantee you it's not. And creating community around you is one of the strongest, most powerful, and also one of the most radical things you can do in an environment like this.
The window back there. Can you be surprised now? Do you want to be surprised now? Shout out, hallelujah. 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 I'm going to be shocked at what I can do. I'm going to be amazed at what I can do, and that's love. The earth has put desire and love into every one of us so that we would live, and we're not picking it up. But let's promise each other we're doing that now. Let's promise each other walking out of the public theater front door that we're going to sit down and we're going to make some plans for change, for love. Gotta love. Radical love.
Hello, welcome to News from the Natural World. I'm Savitri D. Colorado wildlife officials released 15 wolves relocated from Canada into Eagle and Pitkin counties in the Central Mountains. The addition of the wolves from Canada and the re-release of a mother wolf and her four pups brings the state's total known wild wolf population to 29. In 2020, Colorado voters narrowly approved a measure mandating the reintroduction of the gray wolf, which people had eradicated from the state through hunting and poisoning. Significant portions of the Arctic boreal zone are now a source of carbon in the atmosphere. After millennia as a carbon deep freezer for the planet, regional hotspots and increasingly frequent wildfires in the northern latitudes have nearly canceled out that critical storage capacity in the permafrost region. 34% of the Arctic boreal zone, the treeless tundra, boreal forests, and wetlands that make up Earth's northern latitudes, are now a source of carbon to the atmosphere. That balance sheet is made up of CO2 uptake from plant photosynthesis and CO2 released to the atmosphere through microbial and plant respiration. When emissions from fire were added, the percentage grew to 40%. Single women are happier on average than single men. That's among the findings of a recent study by University of Toronto psychology researchers. They say the results suggest that men may have more to gain than women in heteronormative romantic partnerships. Due to sample size limitations with non-binary individuals, the study focused on individuals who identified as men or women. Overall, the researchers found that women fared better on their own than men. They are happier with their single status, the quality of their lives, the quality of their sex lives, and they desire a partner less. According to lead author Elaine Hohn, we know from existing research that in heteronormative relationship structures, women typically take on more than their fair share of domestic and emotional labor. As well, their sexual pleasure tends to be deprioritized and potentially reduced as a result of the unfair divisions of labor. She also notes that women may be more satisfied with their single lives overall because they usually have bigger social networks to rely on for support. They also have more financial independence than was the case historically, meaning income as a traditional advantage of partnership is not as important as it once was. Collapsed dead stars, known as neutron stars, are a trillion times denser than lead, and their surface features are largely unknown. Nuclear theorists have explored mountain-building mechanisms active on the moons and planets in our solar system. Some of these mechanisms suggest that neutron stars are likely to have mountains. Neutron star mountains would be much more massive than any on Earth, so massive that gravity just from these mountains could produce small oscillations or ripples in the fabric of space and time. Recent research shows that rising temperatures will severely affect the ability of tropical forests to photosynthesize. This will hinder their capacity to absorb carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, reducing their role in mitigating global warming and exacerbating climate change. Plants can dynamically acclimate to their environment. When warmed, they can adjust their photosynthesis to perform more efficiently at moderately higher temperatures. This allows them to maintain or even increase their carbon uptake under these new conditions. However, tropical trees may have a limited capacity to acclimate to warming because they have evolved under relatively stable climatic conditions. As a result, they are already near the upper limit of temperatures they can tolerate without suffering damage. About 4,900 years ago, a Neolithic people on the Danish island Bornholm sacrificed hundreds of stones engraved with sun and field motifs. Archaeologists and climate scientists from the University of Copenhagen can now show that these ritual sacrifices coincided with a large volcanic eruption that made the sun disappear throughout northern Europe. Climate scientists analyzed ice core drillings and can now document that a volcanic eruption took place about 2900 BC, an eruption that must have had devastating consequences for the Neolithic peoples who lived in northern Europe at the time and who were deeply dependent on agriculture. The so-called sunstones are flat shale pieces with engraved patterns and sun motifs. They symbolize fertility and were likely sacrificed to ensure sun and growth. Sunstones were found in large quantities at the Vasagard West site, where residents deposited them in ditches, forming part of a causewayed enclosure together with the remains of ritual feasts in the form of animal bones, broken clay vessels, and flint objects. It is reasonable to believe that the Neolithic people on Bornholm wanted to protect themselves from further deterioration of the climate by sacrificing sunstones, or perhaps they wanted to show their gratitude that the sun had returned again. In 2024, solar power outpaced coal in Europe for the first time as fossil fuel power dropped to a historic low. The solar and wind sources raised the share of renewables in Europe to 47% compared to 34% in 2019. Fossil fuels over that span fell from 39% to 29%. Across Europe, solar capacity is sometimes so abundant at midday that it outpaces demand, resulting in negative or zero price hours. On June 6, 2023, two large explosions reverberated across cities and small towns in southern Ukraine. The Russian military had reportedly set off multiple bombs, destroying the 3-kilometer-long Kakhovka Dam and draining its reservoir into nearby settlements. Water from the dam flooded the plains, killing hundreds of people and countless livestock, destroying farms and displacing the residents of more than 37,000 homes. In the weeks following the explosion, researchers found that the attack had flooded about 230 square miles of forest in at least 4 national parks, threatening an estimated population of 20,000 animals and 10,000 birds. Almost all aquatic vegetation had died, and much of the marine life had disappeared, including mollusks. Wildlife across almost 2,000 square miles faced catastrophic effects from the flood, including rare species of birds, mammals, reptiles, and insects. Populations of some species were dealt a greater blow in that one day than in the last 100 years. But scientists have been amazed by the dynamic growth in the area. 3 months after the attack, they were shocked to find vegetation and forests in part of the reservoir that was left dry after the dam collapse. Where they feared desertification, a thick forest of largely willow trees, some reaching as high as 6 meters, now occupies almost 1,000 square miles of land once covered by the reservoir. The area seems to be recovering its original biodiversity, fed by the organic material left by all the destruction. Ukraine faces significant environmental challenges, including lasting impacts of Soviet-era industrialization. Since the start of the war, nearly 1,200 square miles of forest fires have burned, and highly toxic munitions litter the landscape. And now, the sounds of extinction, the Kagu, known as the ghosts of the forest, due to their pale color and ghostly cries. The Kagu is an elusive and endangered bird of New Caledonia. Nearly flightless, the Kagu is large, ground-dwelling, with whitish or bluish-gray feathers, dark bands on its primaries, and bright red legs and beak. Adults stand around 22 inches in height and have a wingspan of up to 32 inches. Adorned with a long heron-like beak, erectile crest, and covered in a powdered down to protect them from rain and extreme temperatures, they are the only known bird species to have nasal corns, thick skin flaps that protect their nostrils as they root around in the soil for small insects to eat. Kagu are endemic to the dense mountain forests and shrublands of New Caledonia. There are fewer than 2,000 individual kagu in the wild, and hear the sounds of a wild kagu.
Woo!
Reverend Billy here. Time to say goodbye and thank you. And that's our dog, Toby, who's angry about something. And we have a great collection of activists here in this half-hour show. Starting off with Neil Young and his anthem to change with his new band, The Chrome Hearts. And then Bell Hooks, the great feminist philosopher and leader, all about love being one of her great, well, she wrote many books, and she went down to Kentucky and back, and that's what she's talking about with her audience in our show today. The Because song, Savitri and I wrote together, a love song. Don Byron, the great clarinetist, on that song with us. Octavio Ocasio-Cortez talking about how communities and family, our pod, is so important after the rise to power of this neo-Nazi organization led by Donald Trump. And then a section of the last time we performed, December 22nd at Joe's Pub at the Public Theater. What a wonderful gathering that was. You kind of get a quality of that church show. It's partly a musical recital, partly a going crazy ecstatically loving love. And I have in my audience just a lot of activists. We, there are 30 of us up there on that stage. And I think I'm talking to a lot of activists at this very moment. And I invite you, all of you activists, or soon to be activists, we hope, visit us in New York when you're here. Make sure that you find out when we're performing. We'd love to see you, meet you, have a conversation. Because right now the conversation is a little bit one way. I can feel you out there. I feel your presence. And I know that we are making a community of activists together with our love. And there's Toby, angry at the next person who comes up the steps. Somebody give me an earth-a-loo-yah. Earth-a-loo-yah.
This is Free Voices at CJSF 90.1 FM talking to you about
Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. We are 10 board of directors and we are rejoicing for world history. Our show is based on true stories, musical and storytelling and role playing. Silent Crimes Broken, very interesting series of show.
And a lot of in-depth oral tradition. We play every Thursday from 3 to 4. Come and join us.